Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good evening to you, Smiling. Happy Friday, everybody. 6:08, Mark Arum with you till 8 in the p.m. Monday through Friday. We got a fun show. Second hour, we're going to talk to a comedian, Brittany from Access Atlanta, Gio from Antico Pizza. But I want to start off with not something I really want to talk about, the Jeffrey Epstein story. You familiar with it? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ugh. You know what I'm talking about, Longoria? The alleged pedophile. He had a pedophile island, apparently. So, disgusting. Disgusting story. And this is all I'm going to say about it. I don't know the man. You're innocent till proven guilty. But if he is guilty and there are people that have been associated with him, throw the book at all of them. I don't care if they've got a D, an R, or an I next to their name. No one should be safe from the prosecution of Epstein Island. This alleged, just absolute horrible creep. So I don't care if I don't care who goes down. If anyone had something to do with the underage girls that he was trafficking, and just throw the whole book at him, Longoria.
I agree with you.
A big thesaurus, just throw it right at him. Anyway, do you ever when you were a kid? Maybe I'll ask Deb. What was your favorite book as a child? Let me start with that.
Favorite book as
That was a weird thing.
Yeah, that's why
we're done with Epstein. Sorry, that was it. That was the end of the sorry. Bad.
Thank you.
Poor transition.
Yes.
Very poor.
Where are we going with this?
I just wanted to get that off my chest. So,
okay.
New topic now.
Yes.
Period. End of sentence. New paragraph. New topic. What was your favorite book as a child?
I used to devour Stephen King books. I loved
those. Younger.
Oh, gosh, younger.
Judy Blume.
No, I never read those.
No?
No.
Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret?
Never read that either.
All right.
No.
So Stephen King.
Stephen King, around sixth grade.
Yeah. I can absolutely see it. Longoria? Any favorite?
I used to like those Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Okay,
when I was younger.
Sure, yeah. I used to cheat like hell on those.
Yeah, you would look to see if you were going to
die. Turn
to
page 83. It's like, I'm not going to do that. Yeah.
Pick B.
Yeah, I forgot about those. So I'm a weird guy. My favorite book as a child was the Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I just loved that. I mean, it was the perfect toilet book, right?
Did you ever try and be like, oh, I could do that one? Like, think you could break one eventually?
I would make up my own things.
Oh, okay.
I remember one, I don't know, I must have been 6 years old, and we had a kiddie pool. Maybe I was even younger. Oh, my brother was young. All right, so we had a kiddie pool in the back, okay? And I was like trying to get to the Guinness Book of World Records, and I took a sack full of pennies, and I stood like 10 feet away, and I was like, I'm going to set the record for the most consecutive pennies thrown into a kiddie pool, like without missing or without bouncing. And I did it, and I don't know, 147 or whatever. And I wrote a letter to the Guinness Book of World Records.
Really?
Yeah, I had my parents mail it.
They have to be present when you do that stuff, right?
Well, I mean, I didn't. And they were, the Guinness Book was nice enough to write back. We're like, dear Mark, throwing pools, pennies into a kiddie pool is not an official Guinness Book of World Record category yet.
Yet.
If that changes, we will certainly let you know. Keep up your... I mean, it was really cool to get...
Yeah, I mean, at least they were nice about
exactly.
it. They weren't like, kid, come
yeah,
on.
No,
dude.
Exactly. So, like, that was a dream of mine to always get into the Guinness Book of World Records. And what am I going to get in for, Longoria, right? You look the
know.
Tallest man, fattest man, yeah. best...
Something poker related, maybe?
I don't even think there's any poker... I mean, there's nothing I can do. Remember the longest fingernail? I remember the pictures in that book specifically.
God, that was gross.
With the they'd loop around. It was a guy from India, I remember, had this thing, and they had the fattest twins, the two guys on the mopeds. And the tallest man ever. Like, I remember so vividly those pictures. I used to read that book all the time. And up until about 90 minutes ago, I didn't think I could ever get in the Guinness Book of World Records, okay, right? Because yeah. I'm not going to grow the longest hair.
Right, right.
I'm not going to grow the longest nails. I may someday be the fattest person on the planet. That yeah. I guess that's within.
There's something stomach related in the
Guinness
Book.
But there's nothing physically or athletically or musically. Like there's music. There's nothing. And up until 90 minutes ago, I had given up on my dream of becoming a Guinness Book of World Records. Until Deb Green finds this story out of Belgium. Belgian?
Belgium.
A Belgian man sat on a toilet for nearly 5 days this week in a bid to set a world record. Apparently, the Guinness Book of World Records for sitting on a toilet consecutively is 165 hours.
Wow.
This guy failed. He bailed after 116 hours.
Whoa.
Do the math.
So close.
Divide that 165 by 24 while I go to traffic, Deb Green, because I want to know, because I might actually make a run at this. I might make a run at a Guinness Book of World Records longest period sitting on a toilet. Mark McKay, I've had a couple of record-breaking attempts at this during morning drive. You can attest to that.
Toilet books, and that's why you're not up there in the skycopter.
Exactly.
We would not be in the air watching traffic if you were up front.
165 hours. How many days is that, Deb Green?
Sorry.
It's divided by 24.
I know. I was trying to get this thing working.
Okay. While she does the math 6. On that.
6.8.
So almost a whole week. Now, look at the there's interesting caveats to this.
Yeah, you could take breaks.
This guy could take breaks. You can get 5-minute breaks, 5 minutes off every hour, which you can accumulate over several hours to allow you to get some sleep. So if you don't take a break for 5 hours, you've locked up 25 minutes of break time.
And then you can take a 30-minute nap.
Which I listen, as a true Guinness Book of World Records champion, would not be taking those breaks.
You would just go all the way through?
Yes. I've slept on a toilet before. You can sleep on a toilet.
Well, wouldn't you, if you could do that, then just accumulate them all till the end, and then you take off, like, what would that be about?
Sure.
Like 2 hours, yeah. 3 hours, or whatever?
5 days.
And then you get off early.
Yeah. So if I do go for this record,
yeah.
Pshaw on the breaks. I'm not taking 5-minute breaks. What do you need to break for? To go to the bathroom? Well, you're on the toilet already.
So you take a week off of work to do this?
Yeah. We got unlimited PTO now.
Oh, that's what you do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
When did that happen?
I was supposed to say that in the air. Sorry.
I was like, whoa, wait.
I could actually even do my show.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
If we set up a studio in my house.
Now, technically, this guy was sitting on a toilet, but it wasn't in a bathroom.
Exactly.
So it wasn't
even a
connected toilet.
Oh.
So you could do that. And then if you do have to take a bathroom break, like get up and go to the
bathroom. No, I want to be on a real toilet. I want this thing to be genuine. If I'm going to set the record, I'm going to set the record. Gonna be a genuine record breaker.
Haven't you already fallen asleep on the toilet once before?
Yes.
And we're late to work?
Yeah. 15 years ago, I woke up at 3:19 a.m., as I do every morning, to come in to do morning news with Scott Slade and the traffic on Channel 2. And my routine is the same. I wake up, go to the bathroom, take a shower, shave, get dressed, and go to work. That's the same routine I've been doing for 20 years. This morning, 15 years ago, I woke up, went to the bathroom, showered, shaved, came out, and it was 5:30 in the morning. And I realized that I had to have fallen asleep on the toilet, because if I'd fallen asleep in the shower, the water would have gotten cold. It wouldn't have woken me up, and I didn't fall asleep standing up shaving.
Yeah, it's harder to fall asleep
standing up. So I knocked out for a good hour while on the toilet. So
you've had practice.
Thank you, Longoria, for remembering that. Yeah, I've had practice. So that's the record I'm going to go for. A week on the turlet is very doable, I think.
If this were a station I used to work at, we'd be planning this.
We would do it right now,
next
of course.
Week, yes.
Maybe a B98.5.
There you go.
We'll promote this behind.
But what about eating? Would you eat
Uber
in the
Eats?
No, but eat on the toilet, in the restroom?
You haven't done that before?
No. That's the grossest
thing
I've
ever. I guess your sink is right there. I
haven't done that either.
I've had friends that have done it, but not.
I drink coffee on the toilet sometimes.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing as eating.
No, you're right. I'm not eating
wings.
I
had a buddy eat a sandwich one time while he was sitting on the toilet. I'm like, you couldn't wait like 20 minutes to come out and eat the sandwich? Like, you decided to eat it then?
Not eating biscuits and gravy on the toilet. Although it's probably a good idea with my insides to just sit on the toilet.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I mean, as long as it'd have to be the perfect setup. I need a sink to wash my hands and so I could continue eating. And I don't have to sit on the toilet with my pants at my ankles the whole time.
This guy didn't, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can sit there fully clothed, so that's a different thing.
Do you have to sit with it with, like, like it open? Does that make sense? Like the top open,
I don't
or
think
can
so.
You just sit on it? It's just
yeah.
sitting on it,
yeah,
right?
It just yeah. said sitting on the toilet. Yeah.
This is doable, Longoria.
Yeah, it is.
We can make this happen. 6.8 days. I can do that standing on my head. I do want to talk about the Guinness Book of World Records. Anyone else fascinated by that book as a kid as I was? I mean, I loved that book. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Still to come, we got a drunk dentist to talk about, and tomorrow's National French Fry Day. So it's light and easy. Aside from that first Epstein comment, everything else is light and easy on the Mark Arum Show. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Thinking about setting a world record, the Guinness Book of World Records, for sitting on a turlet for 100 and how many hours did I say?
165.
165 hours. I think I can get it done. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Chris joins us in Lawrenceville. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. Good evening. And I have to tell you, your show is definitely the highlight on my listening
day. Oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you, sir.
Anyways, I got two quick comments. One's about the world record thing, and the other is about the crazy names you talked about yesterday. In regards to the Guinness Book of World Records, judging by your multiple appearances on WSB and other affiliates practically every day, I sincerely think you may hold the world's record for the most popular Jewish talk show host in the world.
Oh, is Mark Levin Jewish? Jews Nugget. See if Mark Levin is Jewish. If he, we're not claiming him. I'm not claiming him for the religion, but maybe if he's not, I might have a shot at that.
I think you're on more affiliates, and you know, well, WSB is the most popular talk show host station in the world.
Indeed. What about the names from yesterday, real quick?
Oh, okay. I can't believe nobody mentioned the guy that's been in the news so much over the last year, that FBI special agent. Peter Stroke.
Yeah, you know what? I've grown out of my immaturity, and I never even put two and two together. Yeah, that could be an awkward name. Chris is in Dahlonega. Chris, welcome to the Mark Arum Show.
Thank you. How about bringing up their Guinness's first cousin, Ripley's, believe it or not. I've got a story. My grandfather, I'm going to read it as I look at the picture here. It was February 2nd, 1952. Drove through all the 48 states, a distance of 9,246.7 miles in 12 and a half days.
Wow. How many miles?
Oh, I'm about to zoom in. 9,243.7 miles.
That might be a fun one to break. When was that rec? When was that set?
It was February 2nd, 1952.
Oh, we got.
I made the trip in a 10-year-old car that had already traveled 134,000 miles.
I think that's beatable with the automobiles we have in 2019. That'd be a fun thing to do. I would love to do one of those things. Stop at every Whataburger on the way for Longoria.
Oh, yeah.
And then stop at every bathroom after that for me. Well, Ripley's, believe it or not, by the way, do you remember that TV show?
Yeah.
Can you find the intro to Ripley's when we come back, Longoria? Yeah. All right. I'm going to try to set a Guinness Book of World Records. Longest time on the porcelain, 163 hours, just because the Guinness Book was my favorite book of all time. I loved that thing as a kid. This is the Mark Arum Show.
Hi, this is Valerie Bertinelli, and you're listening to the Mark Arum Show.
According to the internet, the Guinness Book of World Records was first published in 1955, Deb Green. It does seem late. It was just a pamphlet before that. And since then, there have been over 138 million copies printed in over 20 languages in more than 100 countries. Hmm. How about that? My favorite book as a kid, and probably still as an adult. I got to go pick up I want to see how many things have changed, records have changed.
Isn't it all just online?
I don't know. I want the hard copy.
Book.
Yeah, it'll help me set
my
record.
Do they still sell a book?
I would think so, yeah.
Where is there a bookstore?
Check on Amazon. If you don't mind.
Prime Day.
Literally, check on Amazon. Because I'd like to go back to my childhood. I remember that I could recite that book front to back. That's how much I love that book. Anyway, the reason I'm talking about that is I never thought I could get into the Guinness Book of World Record. But now I think there's a shot. The record for sitting consecutive hours on a toilet is 165 hours. 6.8 days, according to Deb Green's math. And I think that's very doable for me.
$16.
Dude, all right.
There you go, Amazon, yeah.
I'll do it.
Get it on Prime Day.
When is Prime Day?
Monday?
Monday?
Yeah, something like
right?
that.
Monday? Yeah, I think it's Monday.
404-872-0750. Eric joins us in Braselton. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. Great show. I love your show.
Thank you, buddy.
Well, I've got a, believe it or not, a radio-related Guinness record.
Okay.
Back when I was growing up, when I was a kid, growing up in South Florida in Homestead, we had two country radio stations in the area, WQAM in Miami, and we had a little radio station, 1430 WQDI in Homestead. A little bitty station would shut the transmitter down at night, and they would crank it up back in the morning at 6 a.m. with a rooster crow. There was two DJs that were attempting to do the longest continuous radio broadcast. One guy was named Steve Lewis. Can't remember the other guy's name. And it was 81, I think. And it was well over 130-some hours. It was almost a week. And they set up a booth in the mall, Pebble Ridge Mall, and they broke the record.
And what was the exact record again?
It was the longest continuous radio broadcast by DJs, a single DJ or duo, whatever.
And how many hours was that?
It was like 147.
Oh, gosh. No, I can't do that.
It's been over. It's almost 38 years ago.
So I'm glad you brought that up. So you remember a couple of years back, there was everything was about this filibuster. I don't even remember what it was about, but there was going to be a filibuster in Congress and filibuster.
Yes.
And I pitched to Pete Spriggs. I'm like, we can capitalize on this. We'll do a Mark Arum filibuster where I take over the station for one full day. I start in, I fill in for Scott Slade. And back at the time, it was Herman Cain after Slade. And then I do every show in all the way for 24 hours, all the way up to Scott Slade's morning news the next morning.
Okay.
And I would do everyone's show. Like Herman, I would have done a political show. Rush, I would have done. And I don't know. I guess he wasn't into the idea.
Wasn't 24 hours of Mark?
I don't know. I thought on a Friday, let me rest on Thursday. I take Thursday off and I come in and I go, or Thursday to Friday, I guess. Take a Wednesday off and then just do 24 hours.
I don't think you could do it.
I think I would like to try. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I think you get some sponsors, bring you some food.
I'll tell you what. I would start with the morning news because that's the toughest show to do.
Right. Exactly.
Toughest show to host.
Absolutely.
And then end with whatever, Dana Lash or whatever the hell else. You know, Dana Lash, I think, goes up to the morning news.
Yeah.
I still want to try it. The Mark Arum Show filibuster. I think we could still do that. Well, it wouldn't set a record, though. 154 hours. That's not going to happen. JC's in Jefferson. JC, welcome to the show.
Well, I would love that because, I mean, you said about 24 hours about your show. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Would you listen all 24 hours?
Yes, I would.
Aw. You're a good man.
I called in yesterday, and I got this lady that said, you can't get on the radio. I'm like, that's just not fair.
A lady? Well, I don't have a lady screening my calls. Maybe it was the other day.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yesterday or whatever day it was.
Yeah.
You know that now.
I think it was Catfish Crystal. We'll deal with Catfish. JC, have a great weekend, brother. Robbie's in Stockbridge. Robbie, welcome to the Mark Arum Show.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
What's going on, Robbie?
Actually, it's Bobby. That's okay.
Hey, Bobby. Sorry.
That's quite all right. Hey, I've actually got some relatives that are in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Ooh, tell me.
I have an aunt. She actually married my uncle, but her and her four.
Wait, hold on. Let me stop you right there. You have an aunt. She's your aunt by blood.
No, she's not my aunt by blood. She's my aunt by marriage.
So your uncle married this woman.
My uncle married this woman.
And they were not related.
No, they were not related.
It made it sound like you said, aunt married my uncle. So I was like, whoa, all right, let's see how this works. All right, so. Let's
this is in Virginia. This
okay.
Is Virginia or Alabama.
Go ahead. Sorry. All right. So, Bobby, real quick, your family's in the Guinness Book of World Records. How did it happen?
Okay. She and her four siblings are the oldest living siblings in the world.
Wow. Are they still all alive?
The brother died sometime this past year.
Ooh.
And my aunt turned 100 this year.
Good for her.
The combined age between the five of them was 485 years.
400. So if me and my brother wanted to break that record, we'd each have to live to be 247 years old. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. What are their names? What's the last name? Just give me the last name.
Mangum. Manghan. They were in the newspaper. And everything. I went down to the celebration. They had a representative from Guinness was down there. Well,
I order that book and it comes in, I will be looking for the Mangum family, the oldest siblings in the world. The aunt and the uncle not related, Deb Green. That there was no
correct.
This was not in Birmingham. Thank you for the call, Bobby. When we come back, National French Fry Day is tomorrow. I'll give you some fry stats. 404-872-0750 on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Arum. This is the Mark Arum Show.
Believe it or not.
Oh, I forgot it was what's his name that did that from City Slickers. Rest in peace. The Ripley's Believe It or Not show. The cowboy actor. Yes, Palance. Good job, Deb Green. Real quick, we're going to finish up on Guinness Book of World Records calls. Charlie's in Gainesville. Charlie, what do you have?
Yeah, back in the 70s, they used to have a 20-mile walk called Walk for Mankind. And being a buddy of mine, thought we would try to break the record of running three-legged. And I believe at the time the record was 18 miles. We made it 15 miles before they called it off due to weather.
Oh, my. You were so close, Charlie.
Yep.
We did 15 miles, three-legged. Me and you will try it on Sunday. We'll try to break that record. Yeah, he laughed. I think he was laughing more at me than at him.
Yeah.
Charlie's in Duluth. Charlie, real quick, what do you have?
Hey, so does it have to be a working toilet that you have to sit on?
No, it can just be a non-working.
Yeah, this one was just set up in the middle of a bar. You had to sit on it.
Yeah, so just set up a toilet in the middle of the studio there, and you can break two records at the same time. Broadcast continuously and sit on the toilet continuously.
Now, I could sit on the toilet for seven straight days. I can't broadcast for seven straight days. Even I don't have enough BS to fill that.
Your voice would be shot, too.
Gary's in Atlanta. Gary, real quick, what do you have?
Hey, I was going to tell you, if you end up doing the toilet thing, man, I'll send Deb Green an email. We can get sponsorships, get the best toilet in Atlanta. I'm telling you, it's a great idea.
Let's pitch that in the next promotions meeting, Deb. Okay. I'm down for it.
I'm telling you, brother. We get sponsorships, and especially when you said you're a real toilet and you're all in.
You know what? We could do this as a fundraiser for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, Carathon's
next
week.
We got the Carathon. I'll sit on the throne for the kids. I'd be happy to do that. All right, wheels are in motion. I'm going to regret this, I think.
Yes.
Real quick, tomorrow's National French Fry Day. The average person, Longoria, consumes 29 pounds of French fries a year.
I probably double that.
That seems like a lot.
I double that easy.
Yeah.
I eat fries with everything.
Well, Deb has zero, so that evens out. If you do 60.
There you go. Yeah, that's true.
Best fast food French fries. What do you guys think?
Ooh. Zaxby's.
Really?
Church's and Zaxby's.
Zaxby's has the crinkle fries,
yeah,
right? Those are good.
Church's.
Church's not on this top 10 list. I don't think I've ever had fries at Church's. Number one, according to the survey, good old Mickey D's, McDonald's. I can't argue with that.
I've heard that. I've heard everyone's like, the fries are really good.
I love.
I don't like a skinny fry.
Here's the top 10. McDonald's, number one. Arby's, number two, with the curly fries, our friends at Arby's. Number three, Five Guys. Number four, Chick-fil-A. That's where I lose Chick-fil-A. I'll eat the waffle fries. I've never craved the waffle fries.
I'll only get fries and a milkshake.
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't growing up in a waffle fry house. They're foreign to me. I never adopted them. Number five, Wendy's. Number six, Burger King. Number seven, In-N-Out, which I had the other day. They were medium. Yeah. Number eight, Sonic. Number nine, Carl's Jr. Number 10, White Castle. That I disagree with, too. Those are not very good fries.
No.
You go to White Castle to get the burgers, not the fries. So there you go. Tomorrow, National French Fry Day. Survey says that you are listening right now. You eat 29 pounds of French fries a year. Good for you. Keep up the good work. All right, coming up after news, weather, and traffic, comedian Rich Voss in studio on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Arum. This is The Mark Arum Show.
The Mark Arum Show is performed before a live studio audience.
No, I want this town to be near you.
Welcome back. Friday edition of the Mark Arum Show. Coming up on the program, we're going to talk to Gio, the founder of Antico Pizza. Brittany from Access Atlanta will join us in studio right now, bringing the funny to the Punchline stage tonight and tomorrow. Comedian Rich Voss. Rich, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Great. How did you get to Pizza Guy? What did he get?
I understand. I know you're not from the area.
What?
Atlanta was pizza starved for a long time. And then this Italian guy named Gio comes. and he opens this place, Antico. And I'm a pizza snob. I grew up in the Northeast, New Haven pizza.
That's
New York
real
pizza.
Good pizza in New Haven. It's like known for.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not New York pizza.
Correct.
I'm from Jersey.
Yeah.
Jersey and New York, but New York, I would say.
Sure.
You know.
So I thumb my nose at pizza in Atlanta for many, many, and this guy shows up, and it's as good as anything I've ever had.
You know, but it's so funny because, you know, people go, oh, well, pizza in New York, but you can't get good barbecue like you can get down south in New York.
Absolutely
You go through Texas. My daughter went to ECU in East in
the Purple School.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a barbecue place down there, Bee's Barbecue. It's probably the best barbecue in the world.
Yeah.
You know, so you can get pizza every corner in New York. Mm-hmm. But good barbecue, you got to find it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not everywhere
well,
like
it's
that.
Funny. So, you know, I grew up in Connecticut, and my exposure to Southern food was basically KFC, Lee's Famous Recipe Fried Chicken. Those are the only biscuits that I knew or KFC biscuits. I came down here. It's a whole new culinary world.
Well, I grew up in an urban neighborhood, so we used to have – I used to go to my friend's house, and his mom went, on Fridays or whatever would cook fried – whiting fish.
Mm-hmm.
And my, you know, my parents didn't make that. And I would go there and just beg for fish. Then yesterday when I came in, I pulled over in some place and had fried fish. It was just the most unhealthy, best tasting food on the planet.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not really a comic. I really do food talk. That's basically what I do. I wake up with 4 hours sleep and talk food. And then last night I had, what do you call it? Chicken something, you know. So whatever.
There's... Well, listen, I'll be happy to talk food with you. But you may or may not be talking food on the Punchline stage tonight and tomorrow. Tickets available online at punchline.com. I would imagine, I mean, you're a well-traveled comic. You're on the road a lot. Just eating right or eating healthy or eating period's got to be a chore on the road.
I was doing well. And then every time I work Vegas, I gain weight because I eat like a pig.
Yeah.
Either because I'm losing and I am depressed.
Yeah. Comfort
or
food.
I can't sleep and I'm eating. I have to lose. If I lose 10 pounds, then I'm in perfect shape. I mean, on a 1 to 10 scale, I'm already a 7. So once I lose 10 pounds, I'm back to an 8.5.
Very nice.
You know, I was working a casino and I'm in the shower. And there's no water pressure. This was in Atlantic City.
The worst. I hate that.
It dribbled out.
Yeah.
Dribbled. I'm serious. And I was furious. And I was going to call the front desk. And I was going to complain. And then it hit me. And I'm thinking, in some countries, they don't even have running water or hot water. Yeah. And then I'm thinking, who am I to complain? But then I'm thinking about it. I'm going, in those countries, they didn't lose $2,000 at the crap table. So, you know what I mean? I called down and I complained. It's all relative.
Yeah.
You know?
So here's something. So I was in Vegas last week for the World Series of Poker, and I experienced my first earthquake ever. I was staying.
Where was he performing? Oh, no.
He opened for Sinbad.
Oh, okay.
I was in the Venetian. I'm on the 19th floor in my closet. And like trying to get money out of the safe. I actually used the safe in the hotel for the first time. I started getting dizzy, and I was like, oh, I better get something to eat. Like, I haven't eaten in 4 hours. I'm in Vegas. And then I get out of the closet and I see the chandelier just swaying like this. And I was like, holy crap, this is an earthquake. It was unbelievable.
Well, that's from California you're talking about. And it shook that bad in Vegas?
I can't believe it wasn't located in Vegas. That's how bad it was shaking.
Well, say an earthquake hit Vegas. Let's say.
Okay.
Which it seemed to be pretty hard with desert, but I don't know anything about earthquakes, so I don't even know why I said that. That was really stupid.
The pizza guys want to talk about the geology of the rocks when he comes up.
You think an earthquake could take down those big buildings?
Well, I would think yes, a strong enough one. But probably the older ones. I would hope the newer
buildings. There is no more older buildings in Vegas, really.
But I would think the downtown. Newer buildings would have some sort of, you know, like in Japan now, any new building in Japan, because they have so many earthquakes, are, quote, earthquake resistant, or they will sway.
But not monsters. I mean, Godzilla or King Kong could still take down a building.
Exactly.
So I would be frightened to death if I, like, in New York now, I live in Jersey, but I was in New York the other night, and they're building you know, condos or apartment buildings that are like 80, 90 stories high. These things are bigger than the Chrysler building.
Yeah.
And what are you out of your mind? I would never live up there. Not because of terrorism, just because of heights.
Yeah.
And being scared and went. I won't go on the two-story Ferris wheel, more or less. I'm not lying. More or less live on the 90th floor of a building.
And so is that one of the things when you're performing in Vegas, do you get a low room in the hotel? Do you request a lower room?
I sleep
room?
In my car.
can't get lower than Miata.
I sleep in the car. Sometimes I might even lay under it. I always want the lowest floor, one, because especially in Vegas, those elevators and all the drunk people. I just hate being stuck. That's what I hate about Vegas. People think they could, guys think they could do whatever they want. They're just drunk and creeps, and it's just Satan's basement. But I'm there all the time. They have great golf courses.
It is. And good comedy clubs, too. Brad Garrett's got one out there.
Yeah, I work his club all the time. The nicest guy in the world.
So I play poker with him. One time I played with him. Yeah. He is so nice.
I've worked with him there. You know, just all the clubs. Yeah. Not all of them. The three best ones I work.
Yeah. How often are you in Vegas performing?
Every 15 years. No. I was there like probably six times last
year. Yeah.
Between 2018, what are we now, 2019?
2019, yeah.
Probably seven times, six or seven times.
Better crowds, Vegas or like the Funny Hole in Bismarck? You know what I'm saying?
They don't let me work the Funny Hole anymore. I'm banned from the Funny Hole. To me, listen, and this sounds like ego, and it is. I have such an ego I could be a president. I'm going to do well wherever I work. I'm going to make it work.
Yeah.
Because I know what I'm doing.
You have the toolkit. Exactly.
I've been doing it so long, it doesn't matter. I could work a knife fight. You know what I mean? Vegas is a different than anywhere else because some audiences, you'll get some comps. You'll get people that lost or people that are killing time. Or you'll just get great people that want to go to a show.
Yeah.
They're in Vegas. Let's go to a show.
Yeah.
And they don't want to spend $7,000 to see Siegfried and Siegfried. So
they're not around, right? Those guys are done.
One's tiger meat.
Yeah.
And so the crowds are mixed, but they're 95% good audiences.
Yeah.
Because they want to go to a show in Vegas.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, but anywhere you go, like last night, it wasn't a big crowd. It was Thursday, but I did an hour and 20 minutes. You know, they were great.
It was good times.
Yeah, it was fun. And I haven't been to Atlanta in a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, tonight and tomorrow will be, you know, we'll have nice crowds.
Sure. Make sure you have nice crowds. Tickets available for Rich Voss at the Punchline.
Why, you're going to bring 200 people?
I'm going to bring 200, every single one of my listeners. Rich Voss, tickets online at punchline.com. My research staff tells me you started comedy in the early to mid-80s. You started your stand-up career. Is that correct?
I guess,
right. So, obviously, a long storied career. You've done it all. You've seen it all.
I've done a lot.
Are you worried
about... This is the biggest
right
now.
This is the Mark Arum show?
Yes.
This is the highlight.
Yeah.
Are you worried about the future of comedy in this ever-changing PC world? I hear from a lot of comics that are concerned that, you know, the lines keep moving and they're fearful that comedy won't be the same going forward.
Nothing is the same. I mean, look at movies from the 50s, 60s, 70s. Everything evolves into, but everything, you know, I do what I'm going to do no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I will change as much as I can with the times, but I still have to be who I am.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it. I don't care. You know, I listen, you know, whether I'm not political, but we have a president that tweets and argues with a soccer player. So why can't I say what I want?
Valid point.
You know what I mean?
Valid point.
So, and I'm not saying I'm for or against any of them. I don't really care because, you know, it's all, you know, these guys were all stupid money. So it's a whole nother level, whether you're left or right or, you know, it's just real money people.
Sure.
You know, I play golf in Vegas with, you know, at a course with some of the richest people you'll ever want to meet. And, you know, building $15 million houses, You know, one guy had a car collection. I saw, you know, one car is $3 million. And this is beyond anything I'll ever own. It's a whole nother level. So when you, you know, you get up to politicians or big money like that, the bottom line is we really don't matter.
There you go.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? We're just
Rich's new special. We really don't matter.
We really don't matter. I'm not trying to be negative, but it's just that's a whole nother level of people up there.
You know,
look, our next president could be that guy from Amazon.
Bezos.
I mean, I'm just saying they have, you know, which I do love Amazon. Don't get me wrong. I'll buy something, go on the road, and I know I have something to come home to. You know, I have a wife and kids, but they don't do it for me like
like Amazon
like that package.
Does. My girlfriend forgot something at home in Vegas, and she ordered on Amazon, had it delivered to the hotel. It's amazing.
I ordered something, and I was sitting in my hotel room. I was in Arizona. And I don't know what, and my wife calls and she's like, the dog, the oven, she, you know, the bills, she's having a breakdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And all I want to ask her is, did I get a package? You know what? Oh, your grandmother died. That's horrible. You know, I ordered boots.
Yeah, are my socks here yet? You know. Rich, can you hang out one more second?
Yeah.
All right, hang tight. We'll be right back. Rich Voss in studio is at Punchline tonight and tomorrow. Tickets online at punchline.com. We'll be right back. This is The Mark Arum Show. Welcome back. Friday edition of The Mark Arum Show. Merely the warm-up act for the pizza guy, Gio, who's coming up. Comedian Rich Voss in studios at the Punchline tonight and tomorrow. A very funny dude. Go see him tonight or tomorrow or both. That's allowed, right, Rich? They can go to both nights.
Well, yeah, because I'm always different.
Yeah.
I'm very versatile, and I'm like, I don't know if you know this, but you're talking to a genius.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I can recognize it now, the talent.
This is the first time I'm at this new club. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
People worked there nice. I had a good time last night. My opening acts are great, whatever their names are. Some guy and some girl. The girl, they're both great. I don't remember names.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, they really are. They're good. Don't, you know, usually go on the road and the opening acts are just one guy I was working with in Vegas. He stood on his head. I had to follow the guy standing on his head. I swear to God, I go, I'm in the dressing room watching him on the monitor going, is he standing on his head?
He's standing on his head, indeed.
So, listen, if you want to come see me, but also if you like roast, I have the best roast online at vossroast.com.
Oh, excellent.
Vossroast.com. This is the best roast you'll ever see.
One S, V-O-S.
Vossroast.com. It's $5 to rent or 10 to buy.
Done.
Major hitters, Bobby Kelly, Colin Quinn, Jim Florentine, my wife Bonnie McFarlane, Judy Gold, Big J. It's Murderer's Row. The best roast, vossroast.com.
Judy Gold, would you?
Would I what? Go with Judy Gold? She's, no. When I looked, do you know who she is?
Yeah, of course.
On the roast, I looked at her and I go, I go, I loved you on the subway platform in Ghost.
Fantastic.
Yeah. When she falls in the woods. Anyhow.
Vossroast.com.
It's the best. I promise you. You watch this roast. If you don't like it, I'll give you your $5 back.
There you go. Money back guaranteed. Rich, great to see you.
I know.
Welcome to Atlanta.
Well, I can't wait to perform tonight and go have some barbecue somewhere.
Enjoy our barbecue and fried whiting.
I already had the fried whiting.
News, weather, and traffic next. Hang tight. This is The Mark Arum Show.
Hey, this is Rosie Perez, and you're listening to The Mark Arum Show.
He packed in animals two by two, ox, camel, and a kangaroo. Packed him in that ox so tight, I couldn't get no sleep that night. Roll the dust, Shep and Ham, tell them about that master plan. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
Welcome back. Friday edition of The Mark Arum Show. Coming up on the program, Gio, the mastermind behind Antico Pizza, perhaps the best pizza in the southeastern United States. He's just around the corner. But joining us in studio, longtime friend of the show. Actually, a recent addition to show, but a huge hit on the show, Brittany Tannenbaum from Access Atlanta. How are you, Britt?
I'm great. To be honest, I'm just sticking around for the pizza.
Right. Isn't that so good?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
I need to just go work there just to, like, get free pizza.
It's amazing.
Buddy up Gio.
Yeah, exactly right. So, hey, well, hang out. We'll get you some pizza. A lot of stuff going on. Brittany here every Friday to tell us what's going on in the city of Atlanta this week. I want to start with Comic-Con.
Yes.
I didn't realize Comic-Con was this weekend. That's a That's a huge event. That's crazy. I can't even believe it.
It is, and it's over at the Georgia World Congress Center. So they always have tons of celebrities and writers, artists from all your favorite comic books, and then also shows as well. So it's pretty cool to see kind of the people behind all of
this is different than Dragon Con, which we know is usually in downtown Atlanta. So Comic Con is strictly comic book carriers.
Yes, I believe
sci-fi stuff.
Yes. If you want to dress, who would you dress? If you were to go, who would you dress up as?
I don't know if it's appropriate, but I would be Indiana Jones.
Okay.
Yeah.
You might get a little flack for that, but like I feel like you'd be okay.
All right, Han Solo then. I'll be Han Solo.
Okay.
I could definitely see you as Princess Leia, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. I was telling Craig upstairs that I would just go and just like start, you know, signing autographs, and they would actually maybe think I would be Natalie Portman, and charge for that.
Actually, now that you mention it, you got a little Portman-esque thing going on.
I will take it anytime.
Yeah, are you going to go down to Comic-Con?
I will not, because I'm going to be going to the Killer Tomato Festival. The Attack of the Killer Tomato Festival is going down at Westside Provisions District, and so this is Ford Fry's big event. I think this is the 11th annual, so it's been going on for a decade
now.
He was
on my show last week to talk about a great event.
Yes.
And that's actually... Well, I won't walk there, but I could. It's within walking distance of my house.
Okay, so a little exercise.
Yeah, exactly. I can enjoy the festival and then stumble home after eating and drinking.
Totally. And he has a chef band. You know about this? Food Fighters.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to be playing and performing there. There'll be a live auction, so you can get a chance to win a variety of prizes and experiences. General admission for the Tomato Fest is $45. Well worth it, I think.
Yeah. So you're going to be there?
I will be there. Shake Shack is going to be there. I don't know what they're making. I need to inquire. But I think it might
It's all tomato stuff, though, right?
Isn't it
all
is. And they usually do some kind of whatever the event is. So they probably do something maybe tomato-y, which sounds... Maybe it's just a burger with a tomato.
That'd be good. A tomato-centric burger.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm down with it. I also, not only do I like tomatoes, I like pancakes.
Yes.
And we got the Pancake and Booze Art Show this weekend.
Yes. This has been going on for a few years, too. It is the Atlanta Pancake and Booze Art Show. Basically, it's a underground pop art show that showcases some of the nation's top emerging artists. And while you're enjoying all of this art, you can also pour some syrup on some pancakes and eat pancakes while you enjoy the art.
This is a personal question now,
sure.
Brittany, and you don't have to answer
yes.
this if you don't want.
Okay.
When it comes to breakfasts,
yes.
do you prefer sweet or savory? So if I take you out to brunch, are you getting eggs or are you getting pancakes and waffles?
So I will only go out with someone who's willing to share the sweet.
Gotcha.
So I do, if I'm going to Waffle House, I'll get like cheese eggs, a double order of hash browns, and a side of pickles, because I like to eat my hash browns with pickles.
Interesting, okay.
Which is weird, but it's very delicious.
I like it.
Highly recommended.
Eccentric.
And then I'll get a waffle, but I'm not going to eat the whole waffle.
You share the waffle.
So I share the waffle.
So what I do, so sometimes after the mornings, I'll go out to breakfast with Judd Higginbotham or whomever from the morning news.
Yep.
And we'll go to like Egg Harbor Cafe. And I'm a savory guy, so I'll get like an omelet or Benedict or something. But I always make the other guy I come with share a sweet treat, like pancakes or...
So you're like the pressure person.
Yes.
Who's like, oh, you should get the number six, the blueberry waffles.
No, I let them order whatever they want. And then I inform them. So let's say I get Eggs Benedict and they get ham and eggs, whatever.
Okay.
I inform them, hey, we're splitting a side of pancakes. I let them know up front, because I do want
Got
that
it.
Little sweet
yes.
treat. With
Yeah, it's too much to eat the whole thing.
Exactly.
You know, you need to like, you are there for a reason. You're there with your date or whoever you're asking to go for a reason. They're just, you know, they're just splitting the pancakes with you, you know?
Let me ask you about, let's go back to the pickles and the hash browns. Do you put the hash browns on top of the pickles?
I mean, so the pickles on top of the hash
now
brown?
That I'm thinking about it, I actually like when I do like their grilled cheeses a lot with tomatoes and pickles.
Yeah.
So I love their pickles. There's something about the little, like, they're not bread and butter,
no,
because they're regular pickles,
yeah,
but they're like the chip pickles.
See,
you know?
I'm a pickle snob. So like,
do you like Wickles?
I love pickles.
Wickles.
I don't know.
The
what
vinegar.
Those are.
It's like a vinegar. They're really expensive in grocery stores.
Really?
And they're called Wickle pickles.
Bring some in next week.
Okay, I will.
So like when I go to Chick-fil-A, I'll get the chicken sandwich.
Extra pickles.
No pickles.
No pickles.
Yeah,
because
I'm a pickle snob, and I'm not really a big. I love Waffle House, but I'm not really a fan of their pickles. But I might throw them on top of the hash browns. I don't know if they would mix them. Usually you can get them scattered, smothered, covered, pickled. I don't think that's an option.
I don't think they have an option. And we did an interview with them, and I think I might email them and tell them.
Do it.
Because they take, it was interesting because they kind of take all of their concoctions of, you know, all of their order or food, you know, stuff from their customers. So they learn from their customers.
Yeah.
So people are asking for stuff on their hash browns or how to do this and that. And if it becomes popular,
brand new item.
They just put it on the,
scattered,
on the menu.
Smothered, covered, and pickled. In honor of Brittany. all this stuff's available on WSBTV.com. Social media, where can we find you and Access Atlanta?
So I am at Britt Elise, and then Access Atlanta is at Access ATL. Follow us on Instagram, hit us up, DM us.
Spell your personal one, so because people say, I missed her thing.
Okay, at BRITTILISE.
Boom.
Speaking of Instagram, Queen Bee, hello.
I know. I got a little
OMG.
Love from Lil Kim. That was pretty cool.
Wow.
I'm excited.
I was impressed.
Thank you, buddy. Hey, we'll see you next week with Wickles.
Yes, Wickles.
Right. Brittany Tannenbaum, Access Atlanta. Thanks, Britt.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks, Brittany. Coming up now from our good buddy David Danzig from Bites and Sights, the purveyor of what is alleged to be the best pizza in Atlanta, Gio from Antico. Take it away, Danzig.
All right. Thanks so much, Mark. I have the privilege of being in the studio with Giovanni De Palma. For those of you, most people will probably know that name, but the ones who don't, you have certainly very likely eaten his food. Antico Pizza. There's the original on the west side. There is one at Avalon. There is one at the Battery. His other creation, Gio's Chicken, which is my
State
personal.
State Farm Arena.
Oh, you're in State Farm Arena, too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. It's everywhere now.
Yes, yes.
But Gio's Chicken, originally on the west side, now open in the Battery. And is there one up in Avalon, too?
No, not yet.
Not yet. So, Gio, there's breaking news. I mean, usually we will interrupt traffic, weather, whatever. but this is breaking foodie news. This is paramount. Tell me what you got coming.
You know, the man who's been making Neapolitan pizza for 10 years and been ranked in the top 10 in America and winning Best of Atlanta, whatever that means, year after year after year. I mean, there's a lot of great pizza here now, so I'm fortunate to even be considered to be the Best of Atlanta still. But I'm now going to make a new pizza, and so I'm going a little bit further south off in the boot of, off the coast of Italy, and I'm going to make Sicilian pizza, so which my grandmother made, and my mother's side of the family's from Palermo, so I'm going to launch Antico Sicilian pizza.
I mean, so, you know, you're the kind of undisputed heavyweight champion of Neapolitan pizza. It changed the game really here. I mean, we had for years you could
I don't know what happened before I
the
got
pizza
here.
Was just pizza.
right.
Antico comes around, it changes the game. It's certainly not broken. It's the top of the mountain, and now you're going to throw something out completely different, right? So Neapolitan's thin crust, cooked really high temperature.
Yeah.
It's very complex. It's very complicated.
Crispy, Sicilian, chewy, wood-fired, yes.
Sicilian, you were telling me this is even more complicated than
Neapolitan. It's much harder to make on the dough production side. It takes 3 days. It's a ice. We literally put ice in the dough. It's a cold fermentation. It's much harder to make the dough, but you actually get it even faster because you can buy a slice.
Right.
So it takes 3 days to make, and you can get it in 3 minutes.
You bake it three times.
It's baked three times. You let the crust rise 6 hours after the 3 days. Then you bake it off. Then you top it. Then you bake it again. Then when you order it, we finish it in a finishing oven at the counter to crisp it up and get it really crispy and the cheese final melt, and then we hand it to you.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So that's seismic.
That's
big.
It's big.
So I'm going to get my first slice this afternoon, this evening. All right. So the
it's Antico versus Antico, I guess. I mean, I don't know. You got. I mean, start the argument. I don't, you know,
it's an embarrassment.
I mean, I had a guy at the Battery whisper to me the other night. He's like, "I think I like this better than Antico."
It's kind of sacrilege it is Antico. To say that it something's Antico. Better than Antico Neapolitan. But there you go. Yeah. All right. So that's huge.
Yes.
So brand new restaurant just opened the Battery. Gio's Chicken.
Yes. Yes.
Gio's Italian Chicken. There's something new. So for people like me who are disciples of Gio's Chicken over on the west side, there's a new thing you're bringing to the table.
Yes, yes. Well, the Antico Sicilian will be a part of Gio's, the slice bars, right, on the west side and the Battery. And I've been fighting for quite a long time not to make, I mean, I never really made fried chicken historically, and I'm not going to say I did, but I've played with it to make an Italian fried chicken. It had to be, you know, Italian ingredients. And so I've brought this special sunflower oil from Italy and this certain flour that I dredge it in and a sea salt buttermilk brine from Sicily. And so I'm making an Italian fried chicken.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's...
this is breaking
that's
news.
What you say, I mean, when you bite it. You kind of say, what it, I mean, because, you know, fried chicken, in the end, sometimes they all start to taste the same, except from... I love JCT, Fort Fry's fried chicken.
Sure.
But, you know, and then after I ate it, I said, this is worthy to put the Gio name on it because it's really Italian flavoring in fried chicken.
That's amazing. All right. So Gio De Palma, we have, like we said, Antico Pizza. You got it in three locations.
Yep.
We've got two Gio's chickens now. It's all available on the web. You can check my website, bitesandsites.net. I'll have some pictures and some descriptions up. And
don't forget the cool part. We're still going to be delivering a whole Antico Sicilian with a bucket of Gio's.
Now, that's game changer.
And that's going to be available on DoorDash, maybe a few others. Right now, we're exclusive with DoorDash, Postmates, Grubhub, maybe coming soon. You'll be able to order both of those as a combo brought to your house.
Oh, my gosh. So, Mark Arum, I'm going to throw it back to you. You now have your next poker night menu already set. Gio's going to send it out to you. And Gio, thanks for being
happy
here.
Happy to be
Can't
here.
Can't wait to get deep into the pizza and the chicken. Thank you so much.
Ciao.
All right, thanks, David. Thanks, Gio. Hang tight. We'll be right back. One segment to go. This is The Mark Arum Show. Welcome back. Final segment of The Mark Arum Show. I tell you what, guys, I can get used to this 3-day work week. This was pretty awesome, just doing shows on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That was fantastic.
Not for me. I'm here all week.
Yeah. Deb was here all week. Longoria was here all week, but I was in Vegas for the first two. We'll have a full week of shows next week, including Monday, the triumphant return of Randy from the digital desk for Millennial Match Game.
High demand.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my mom requested Randy.
Really?
She's like, you better get Randy back on Millennial Match Game.
She's popular.
Yeah, she is very popular. So we'll kick that off on Monday, and a bunch of other good stuff coming up next week. Promised to us by Deb Green, the producer of The Mark Arum. And is Chuck back next week?
He is back. I think he's Monday.
Back Monday. Mm-hmm. Intern Jake will be on vacation.
He's on vacation. Okay.
How can an intern be on vacation, really?
Yeah. And it's a bigger loss than Chuck because Jake does more work for the show than
Chuck
does.
I just didn't think an intern could take vacation. Yeah.
I gave him homework.
Good, yeah. There you go. All right, so yeah, Chuck will be back. All right, let's do Star of the Show, Longoria.
And now, are you guys ready for the Mark Arum Star of the Show?
I'm still in a big hole financially, so even though Deb did most of the work today, Longoria did fine as well. Scott, the phone screener, very good job, but I need Star of the Show. I need to make some money, so there you go. I will be active on social media all weekend long, so if you want to hook up with me on Twitter and Instagram, at Mark Arum, Facebook Mark Arum WSB. Hope you have a great weekend. Be safe. In the meantime, go to sleep, little baby.
Go to sleep, you little baby.
Guests of the Mark Arum Show stay at the All Suite Omni Hotel, located in the heart of Chicago's Magnificent Mile.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.